thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum makes the free throws. It's a 5-point game. Simmons all alone, as he will be the next couple of days, under his own basket. Long touchdown pass deflected by Horford into the hands of Jason Tatum. And in a season of improbable victories, how can we possibly be surprised anymore? The Celtics have done it again. Without Kyrie Irving, they come from 22 down to beat the Sixers 108-103. And they've taken a 2-0 lead in this best of seven. A scenario in which the Celtics have never lost a series. The final score, Boston 108, Philadelphia 103.
We come to you from our Star Market Studios at the TD Garden in advance of Bruins Lightning Game 4, a crucial Game 4 for the Boston Bruins. That will be on the table today on Agenda Free Friday, as will some Patriots drama, which we left to the side yesterday. Never even mentioned the Palace Q yesterday, which I'm sorry, I consider a mistake, given to the bitching of the people who think we talk too much about it. I think it was a mistake. But it's a Friday, so we circle back to it. But we must begin. We have opening thoughts right now before we go to you. Jimmy, I am fully logged in and fully operational. You may release the little puppy dogs at 617-779-0985, but I believe we must start with that Celtics game last night. In fact, Murray, do you care to go first?
Yeah, sure. Incredible comeback for the Celtics. And it was a game that looked over after a quarter and a half. And yes, I saw the tweets that came in at the end of the game. I figured I'd wait until I tweeted, because you never know. It still felt like it was going to go either way towards the end. But I saw all those tweets after the Celtics won that were really for you, Felger. Blah! How do you like Rozier now? Blah! MVP of the series so far. Terry Rozier, worth all the money. Blah! Keep him over Marcus Smart. Rozier, blah! Great, because Mike's not on Twitter. Awesome, so I have to deal with all the blowback. Rozier was excellent in this game, as was Jason Tatum. Again, he's growing up before our eyes. But don't fool yourself. The MVP of this game was Brett Brown. The Sixers coach is why the Celtics ultimately won this game. Brett Brown and his infinite stupidity. So, if that's maybe credit to Stevens, or you want to talk about the disparity in the NBA between coaches, holy crap. That guy and his brain farts in that game? Call a timeout, dude. Anyway, I bet most of Pennsylvania was screaming at their television last night, call a timeout, stupid. Call a timeout. How long are you going to let the Celtics go on this run? Call a timeout. Nope. So, credit to him for not doing that and taking part of the Celtics comeback. And then the one that I actually was even more appalled by is pulling Hoosiers there. McConnell, is that his name?
Skippy Magoo.
Yeah. TJ McConnell.
TJ McConnell. 4-for-4, 8 points, 5 assists, no turnovers, also had 2 steals. He was instant offense for them. When they needed a spark, TJ McConnell. And I even out loud to nobody but my cat on the couch, yeah, he's not going to be stupid enough to pull this kid for Ben Simmons, who's been a zero tonight. Oh, he did. He pulled him for Ben Simmons. Why? Because of hurt feelings, potentially? Because Ben Simmons is the name? That, to me, is inexcusable. So thank you, and credit to Brett Brown, because to me, that's why the Celtics won that game last night.
I mean, to me, that taking McConnell out of that game was the more egregious mistake.
Unbelievable.
Like, clearly, the you know, the Celtics have Simmons solved, at least in the first two games.
Simmons was minus 23.
And McConnell was plus 16.
Plus 16 in how many minutes? Like, I mean, not even that many.
He played 17 minutes.
Okay. Plus 16 in 17 minutes.
It's really pretty simple. When McConnell's in the game, there's another guy who can shoot, and you have to defend him. So you're not playing 4 and 5 on the offensive end. It's really that simple. And so,
just real quick, too, when you're defending him, it opens up things for Redick. And Redick, I mean, he's so filthy when he's on. So it blows my mind that he pulled that kid last night to put in Ben Simmons and his 1 point. God, oh, my God, he stinks offensively.
I mean, what a mistake. You know, again, now it's long-term versus short-term. I heard what his explanation was. But that aside, and I, you know, since it's Agenda-Free Friday, I'm just going to jam Red Sox here in the middle. Because I suspect,
you go. Yes, okay, Matt, your opening thought.
Well, I know he's going Celtics. You're probably going Bruins. So here's what I would tell you. Is it okay for me yet to start worrying about the baseball team? I mean, when am I allowed to start wondering?
And not just be a negative a-hole?
Yeah. Like, the 17-2 was great. I'm just wondering how long we have to live off that, and at one point we can actually start judging them, you know, for how they're playing.
Well, you tell me. They're 1 game up now.
Okay, and
their lead has shrunk to 1.
So, and they're playing like garbage, and more importantly, Mr. Uncomfortably Numb, as Murray has so named him, since his hand went cold, since David Price lost the proverbial hot hand, since that happened, he has an 8.22 ERA.
Oi.
He's 1-4 in his last five starts. The team obviously is also 1-4. The OPS against him, 937 in five games. 937. 23 innings, 29 hits, 13 walks. I mean, which might be the most alarming thing of all. He can't control the ball at all or command it at all. So now the Yankees have been playing. Yankees have been hot. Despite the 17-2, your lead in the division is now one game. One. So I just would like to know, when's it okay to start asking the question, is something wrong with the Red Sox?
There's Maz's opening thought. Mine is a question to Maz. What do you know about the Bruins lineup tonight, Hi-Ho?
I think you're going to get more changes than just Donato.
Okay, well, you're tweeting stuff out like you got something.
Well, this all just happened in the last little bit, but my understanding is that, you know, Donato, they announced. Donato's going to play. I think it's to be determined where Donato is going to play. My understanding,
To be announced. They know where he's going to play.
Who, Donato?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to go like have lunch and say, all right, now where do we play him? They know where they're going to play him.
No,
we
no,
don't
no.
know.
Right. Well, so that's what I mean. We don't know. We don't know where he's going to play. I think – so, look, I've been a little out of the loop this morning, as you know.
Doesn't sound like it.
Okay, in some ways. So have they said that Marchand and DeBrusque are game-time decisions?
Murray?
That's what I just heard in the update.
Okay, Marchand's play, I think. DeBrusque is a little more iffy. And then I think that affects Donato.
If
there's no DeBrusque, Donato plays in the second line, and then you have a different sort of issue on the third line. But the other possibility, I think, I told you yesterday, I'd take Backes out. I don't think they're going to do that, but I think there's a chance to take in Riley Nash out. And so it could be Nash out and Jonta in there.
Okay, that's my opening take. Maz's info on the lineup. Ryan Donato will be. Is it too late? Is it too late to save the series? Is this a must-win? I would say on that last one, yes. Don't go three games down to this team. All of that on the board, as promised, right to you in the opening segment, as we like to do. Matt in Weymouth has one for us. Go ahead, Matt.
So I wanted to talk about coaching and the NBA. So yesterday you asked the question, when's the last time that a team won because of their coaching? And so the Golden State Warriors, they fired Mark Jackson, and then the next year hired Steve Kerr, and then that year won the NBA championship without making many adjustments to their roster. Also, in 2016, the Cavs fired David Blatt, didn't make any roster adjustments, had Ty Lue on the coach.
So, Matt, you're saying that Steve Kerr was the most important piece to that Warriors team, and now that Tyronn Lue is the most important piece to this Cavaliers team?
No, not the most important piece. Obviously, I think the players are of importance, but I think you're just majorly downplaying the importance of the coaching.
I am, and I continue to, even after last night. Coaching is part of the reason they won that game.
Yeah, not all.
What was the most important factor in that game?
Ben Simmons' inability to shoot.
You're missing it still.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Home court. I mean, even with Simmons' inability to shoot, Philly's up 22 points.
But they lost.
Okay. If that game's in Philadelphia, do they lose?
No, probably not.
Not even close. And so then, you know, like the way my mind works, the number one factor in that game last night was home court. Because that's how it works in the NBA. You can come back from those kind of deficits. I mean, you can come back from those kind of deficits, period. But you can really do it at home. Okay. And as a young road team, you're really susceptible to that. The number one factor in that game last night was the location. And the way my mind works, I come up with some good ones, some diabolical ones. I got one for you today, Celtics fans.
See, but that suggests the players don't matter then.
No, it's players in home court. Players in home court, for sure. Start with players. Players are number one. Players. Now we talk about everything else. What would you rather have, home court or the coach? So let me just phrase it to you like this. You can have whatever team you want to use in this sample. You could make it the Celtics. You could make it the Cavaliers. You could make it whoever. But you have a choice. Here's your choice, Murray. You can have Tyronn Lue, but be at home. Or you could have Brad Stevens, but be on the road.
Oh, that is diabolical.
Tyronn Lue.
What would you rather be?
Home.
Yeah, I'd rather be home.
Would you rather be on the road with Stevens or home with a traffic cone?
Home.
So it could be Tyronn Lue there. It could be this overrated bum Brett Brown. It could be Prunty, whatever the interim nobody was.
Home, I pick home.
Would you rather be Brad Stevens on the road or Pickett at home?
Pickett. I pick Pickett.
No, home. I guess home, but I don't feel great about it. I mean, Stevens in this group is what he's doing here and how he gets these guys motivated. Most teams, Mike, throughout this league, down 22, they're going to pack it in no matter where they are last night.
I'm not taking that. I'm not taking his ability and what he's done away from him. I'm telling you that all the things you'll tell me about what he's done for the team are legit, and they are legit. The most important factor in that game last night, once you get past the players, is the venue.
Sure.
Set.
Again, but the Cavaliers have just proven that home court doesn't matter. I mean, they have just embarrassed.
Did you really just say that?
It was because of LeBron. I mean, they have the player. But, if home court mattered as much as you think it did, Toronto still would have taken one of these first two games.
There's exceptions to every rule. But the percentages, the home team winning in the playoffs in the NBA in the first two rounds, the percentages are through the roof. I've given them to you.
75%.
They're through the roof. All right? So you... If something gives you a 75% advantage, the coach doesn't give you a 75% advantage. Home court does. Home court does. If that game last night's in Philly, Philly wins. I'm sorry, they do. And that doesn't mean it can't happen. And the later on you go in the playoffs, the less it's a factor. I mean, the Celts came back from 24 in NBA Finals at the Lakers.
They did. Yeah, they did.
Game four, with their championship year, right? Whatever game that was. So, As we go on, it'll matter less. But that's just my way. That's my question to the Green Teamers. That's my Jimmy Stewart. Same team. Let's say we have the Celtics. Okay, we're the Celtics, and you can be on the road with Brad Stevens or home with Tyronn Lue. What would you be?
Brad Stevens.
You don't believe that. We continue with
How
your
calls.
How could
I believe that, Mike?
No, I mean, do you really?
Oh, of course I do. I'd rather have the coach.
Okay, I'd rather be home.
Oh, you'll lose.
Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. We continue with your calls after this.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Simmons penetrates, kicks out to the open man, Saric for three. This is a beating right now. 14-2 start to the second quarter for the Sixers. They now lead by 21. Rozier has a number in mind, and it's three.
Rain on me, rain on me, rain on me with the Gino.
Rozier, right-hand dribble away from Simmons, kick out, Tatum, good look at the right side, three, got it. Tied again. High score is 61. Jaylen Brown for three.
Went over to the man, Gucci man. Gave him a pound.
Boston by six. In a game they trail by 22. Goes to Horford, drives baseline, gets near the rim and scores.
Guys went and ran away from him.
Seven straight for the Celtics. They lead by eight. This is a 30-point turnaround now in game two. Jason Tatum, right-hand dribble, loses cover.
No!
Attacks the paint and throws it down hard with a violent right-hand slam. And what do you know? Brett Brown does know how to call timeout.
Oh, my goodness.
Rozier running with Tatum, lobs it in the air, and Tatum throws it down.
Oh, my. J.J. Redick missed the easiest shot he could make, and the Celtics run back and get two more.
Brett Brown's using those timeouts now. Horford driving strong past Embiid. Gets to the cup and scores.
Did it quick, fast, and a hurry. Embiid couldn't get there.
Embiid didn't want to foul out in case there was overtime. And now there won't be.
Kevin Hart taking a little cell phone back home. I tell a few jokes now.
With him and Al together, we got some easy baskets at the rim. Huge, huge plays. And, you know, hats off to Greg. He helped us win the game, and he was a big reason why we won the game.
Okay, Agenda Free Friday. Celtics game, obviously a big one from last night, but we get into everything else as well. Bruins tonight, Red Sox one up on the Yankees in the AL East. Here's Dave in Plymouth on the Bees. Go ahead, Dave.
So I want to take the coaching angle, but this time the NHL. And my thing is around Cassidy. I think he did a great job in the regular season manipulating the roster, especially in March when they had all those injuries. But I think the playoffs have been a different animal for him, and I think he's having a little bit of trouble making the adjustments. And I don't mean personnel adjustments. I mean figuring out what the other team is doing and trying to counteract that. And I just wanted to get your guys' take on it.
Yeah, I think they're stuck on their breakout for sure, Dave. And he's supposed to be like a good X and O coach. Someone who comes with good adjustments in game, like
in real time.
Yeah,
right.
Like sort of technical hockey stuff that isn't even, frankly, like worth getting into. But this sort of thing, you know, you have a breakout system. The other team's forecheck. Not only are they super fast, but it feels like they know where you're going with the puck. And now he has to make an adjustment and do something else. And he's supposed to be pretty good at that. So we'll see. They're going to need it. Tampa's better. Tampa's better. And they're more Stanley Cup ready, and they're more veteran, and there's, you know, they're balanced in all of this. So Cassidy's, they're going to need Cassidy. They're going to need Cassidy. They're going to need Rask. They're going to need to play really well. They can't get away with crappy games like they did against Toronto, like all those things. And Cassidy's on the list. We'll see what he comes up with. The lineup's just half of it. You know, I agree with Dave. There's some X and O stuff that he's got to come up with as well. Alex and Newton for Maz. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys. What's going on? So, Maz, thank you last night on the Baseball Reporters. You replayed my call from Wednesday talking about Mookie and JD. First of all, Maz, you're a brilliant radio mind because when you played the JD cut for me from Wednesday, you purposely had Jimmy stop the cut right as I was giving the very impressive statistics of JD Martinez. So I applaud you there. But,
So, Alex, we stopped it there because we had a commercial break.
Oh, you liar.
I'd love to take credit for that, but we did them in separate segments, so go ahead.
That's fine, Maz. I want to just I hopefully close in the book on Mookie here. Forget the offense. He's a better hitter than J.D. Martinez and Hanley Ramirez. You say the contrary, but that's fine. But defensively, I called before the season started because you lit a fire underneath me, as you normally do, and you said his arm was average, which is just not true, Maz. It's not true. Once again, he gunned a guy down last night. I have no idea why he wanted to stretch it from first to third. Buck Showalter, as you know, said he's the best right fielder that he's seen in the game currently. The scouting report on him is you can't run from first to third. You just can't. So I think, once again, you're kind of fooled by his size. He's got a great arm.
Alex, you worried about the Red Sox right now?
I'm very worried about the Red Sox right now.
What about him?
Cora's resting too many players. The bullpen's crap. David Price is sackless. I'm very worried about the Red Sox right now. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
No, that's a good list, actually. Yes. I got to give him credit for that. Look, I'm just telling you, based on pure arm strength, and I don't care what Showalter says. I mean, if you had to pick one, take money and everything out of it, Bryce Harper or Mookie Betts, who are you taking?
Oh, Harper.
Well, I am too. They both play right field, right? So Buck Showalter's never seen Bryce Harper play? Like, shut up. You know? I mean, just stop. You know, look.
Oh, just purely defensively?
No, all the way around.
Well, so all the way around, Bryce Harper. But defensively, I have a hard time believing Harper's better than Betts.
No, Mookie's really good. I mean, and I'm telling you, I think it's even close, Harper and Mookie. But I'd take Harper. I'll take the guy that can hit 45 bombs.
What should Sox fans be most worried about with their team?
I would say Price, the rotation after Sale, and even Sale the last couple of times, hasn't looked great. Price worries me. And I don't know, Porcello can keep it up. Pomerantz, to me, hasn't had the same stuff. All of a sudden, the strength of your team, other than Sale, doesn't look so strong. And so I'd be a little concerned about that.
Dennis and Franklin wants to address Murray. Go ahead, address Murray, Dennis.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Hey, guys. Heading to the Bruins tonight. But just wanted to touch base on Jim. Jim hasn't been the most positive guy with the Celtics as of late. And when you guys started the show today, he immediately jumped on Brett Brown and his indecisions and his coaching. And I just kind of, you know, I don't know much about Brett Brown, but I do know that he was involved in four championships to San Antonio. So I don't think Brett Brown is as bad as Jim portrays him, and I don't think that's why the Celtics are winning. I just want to tell you what I think are the Celtics' strengths and why they're going to win, and they're going to beat Cleveland in addition to Philly. And then I just want to hear your comments.
Quickly.
So, Brad Stevens, by far, and I know he's a Boston guy, but he is one step ahead of every coach in the league, including Pop right now. He is just more intelligent than every other coach. He's getting the max effort from each guy. In addition to that, the players that he has, they're playing 86 basketball. It's team basketball. They're making the extra pass. They're playing with grit and 100% effort. And quite frankly, I don't think Jim gives them enough credit. Earlier in the last series, you guys talked about, especially Jim, about how bad the Milwaukee Bucks was. Now, when I look at their roster with the Greek Freak, Jabari Park came out, I know he's not that.
Dennis. Right,
I'll take a stroll downtown Franklin this weekend. You can throw tomatoes at me. They've played great. And look, I've even given credit to guys like Tatum and Rozier. Tatum, these first couple of games has been awesome. Like, I don't know how you can't look at him and be like, oh my God, he's growing up right before our eyes. He's playing like a seasoned veteran in these games. But Brett Brown's a boob. Come on, like, admit it. They got back into that game because of his stupidity and not calling a timeout before the half, and then deciding to put Ben Simmons, who was an absolute zero offensively, back into that game. And just because guys are under the Popovich tree doesn't automatically mean, like, oh, well, you got to give him credit because he's been under this championship-caliber coach. What has Mike Budenholzer done with the Hawks? Ooh, you got the one seed once, and then you gagged against the Cavs. It doesn't matter what the pedigree is.
That run was a joke.
At the end of the second quarter, it was unreal.
I mean,
stunning.
If you've watched two basketball games in your life, you know, call a timeout, stop the momentum. What the hell are you doing?
The Sixers stopped running.
They did.
They stopped running. How many two-on-ones did the Celtics get at the end of that run on just generic misses? Not turnovers, not like big bounding rebounds on three, just generic misses. They were outletting and getting two-on-ones down the floor repeatedly, more than once, and Brown just let it happen? Oh, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and incredibly. I still think putting Simmons back in that game was worse. I do. I think it was worse. Now, look, I'd be willing to bet. Like, he's basing both of those decisions on the same thing, which is the long view. Okay? I have a young team. I'm going to let them fight through a run and develop, and I'm putting Simmons back in because ultimately we're not winning it this year anyway. I'm willing to bet that that ultimately is how the whole thing crystallizes.
Well, we'll give you his explanation coming up in his own words, but I don't know if it makes him look any better. I'll just tell you that as a little teaser.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupon. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
3-1 high, deep drive to right center field. Jackie Bradley turning. He watches it go. It is gone. A 3-run homer for Mazzara, who has 5 RBIs now tonight, and he breaks it wide open for Texas.
Specifically, Maz, so you're saying Price is your biggest issue. That wasn't even off Price, obviously, but, you know, they had to bring in the bullpen because he couldn't get through what? He couldn't get through 4 last night, right?
Right. Yeah, and look, I just don't think when you watch him, and I saw some of it last night. Obviously, most of my attention was on the Celtics. The ball doesn't look live anymore. I mean, the last couple of games, the ball hasn't looked live. And I would say the same thing about Pomeranz. And so, like, I just look at it and say, you know, both of these guys have elbow issues. You know, I'm starting to worry there's a health thing going on there. Now, look, if they're healthy, then their talent will come through. It'll work out in the long run. I'm worried about the health of the starting rotation.
Okay, Red Sox on the board with everything else here on a agenda-free Friday. Frank the Tank on the Bees, though, tonight. What do you think, Frank?
Look, before I get to that real quick, did any of you catch Pittsburgh and Washington last night?
Just a snippet.
So you missed the end.
I saw Malkin's goal. Yes, I missed the end. Go.
Oh, my God. Oh, Oshie just... He beat the bag out of Letang last night. It was just, oh my God! It was getting to see your firstborn again. It was just awesome. He just beat his ass at the end of the game. It was great,
tremendous.
And that series is borderline. Oh, it's so ugly. It's so greasy. It's such a shame that they don't fight anymore. Because boy, is there some hatred going on there. In terms of tonight, I think it's right on time getting Donato in the lineup. Let's see what the kid can do. I don't think it was a big deal in the first series. I really don't. I think it was the right move keeping him out of that series. I like the fact he's bringing him in now. It's time. It's a little bit of desperation. You definitely need to win tonight because you're not winning 3 in a row on this team. And I would not take Backes out of the lineup, Maz. I know what you're saying. I know that he's a little bit slow. But he provides leadership. He provides a physical presence. I think you need him in the lineup no matter what.
Okay. A little slow.
I don't think it's going to be him. I think he's playing. I think Nash and Heinen are out. That's what I think. Again, so,
you think?
No, I hear
things. Riley Nash.
Riley Nash, not Rick Nash. Yes, sorry. Thank you for clarifying. So, my understanding, and I'm not telling you I'm 100%, because like everyone else, I'm at the mercy of what people tell me. But my understanding is that Riley Nash and Heinen are out, and that you will see Giunta and Donato, and Donato will likely be on that third line depending on what the issue is with DeBrusk. Okay, so Marchand is in. That's the way I heard it. And we'll see what happens when they actually show up on the ice tonight.
Okay, we got much more Bruins thoughts as we go forward as well, but I do want to get through all of these calls. Here's Zach in Vermont. Hi, Zach.
Hey, so I'm concerned that you're comparing first-round, second-round playoff matches and looking at the home team winning. Of course the home team's going to win. They're the first seed. They're the second seed. They're the third seed. They should be winning.
It's not that. Seventh seeds win, but the Bucks swept you at home in your first round series, and you're much better than them.
And the Celtics are overachieving right now, and we can all agree on that.
Well,
see, I'm not totally sold on that.
Yeah, but I mean, hold on. I mean, we can debate that, but the Celtics are playing at a level that the Bucks should not even be in the same zip code as you, and they beat you three straight times. Why?
But
they were at home. They were at home. That's why. If your games against Milwaukee are here or on a neutral site, it's a four-game series, a five-game series. The only thing that kept Milwaukee in is that they got to go home. That's it. Don't fight it, basketball fan. It is what it is. Like, that's part of it. And so that's that. I mean, I think it's entirely possible the Celtics go to Philly and steal a game. I mean, the way this is going, I mean, maybe the coaching mismatch is so glaring here that the Celtics will pull one out, or the Sixers are that young and inexperienced and rattled that the Celtics will pull one out. And then you really get to, you know, then you get to blow your nose right in my face. Go ahead, drop your pants and blow your nose. Do what you got to do. But to this point, you're just winning your home playoff games. I hate to keep diminishing it, but I don't know why people don't start with that, because that's where it starts in the NBA.
See, I told you, I thought that they had a chance to go to the conference final anyway when this whole thing started. I thought that given the bracket they were in, they could come out of there. So, like, the notion that they are overachieving, to me, is a little exaggerated. They are a little bit.
They didn't overachieve by beating the Bucks with home court advantage. That is not an overachievement. It is maybe a slight overachievement that they're 2-0 on Philly. And, it, you know, the 22-point deficit. So maybe I'll give you that. But what? How is it overachieving by beating the Bucks in seven games where you didn't get a win in Milwaukee? How is that overachieving?
See, I'll tell you the other thing that we completely overlooked is Philly's inexperience, Philly's youth.
I mentioned that a billion times.
So
kids don't win.
But really, when you look at it, last night, I mean, that was an implosion.
Well, this is where the coach has to help you.
That was an implosion.
When you've got a young team that hasn't been in that situation and it's too big for the moment, that's when the coach has to be above the situation and say,
right, never mind the X's and O's, woo! Just be a calming presence.
Time out.
Yeah. So what I would like to know is when the Celtics were in Atlanta imploding 2 years ago and they were Philly, right? When they were that team, did Stevens call a timeout?
Did they blow that kind of lead?
I just think they got their asses kicked.
I mean, I don't remember specifically.
I just remember them playing on the road in that Atlanta series and being completely overwhelmed. And Philly is, you know, the matchup is better for them in this series than it was for the Celtics. So, and I'm not saying that Stevens did or did not. I don't remember if he called a timeout. But Philly's youth was terribly apparent last night.
Danny in Somerville has a Celtics, a Patriots thought for us. Hi, Danny. Daniel, oh, he's not there. Steve in the car on the Celts. Hi, Steve.
So, before I get to my points, are you going to be at Pearl Jam at Fenway Labor Day weekend by any chance?
Yes, I believe I will.
Excellent, excellent. So, Maz, quick thoughts for you, Felger, and quick point for you. Maz, the Embiid and Olajuwon comparisons, they're not that far off, man. I watched the game for a long time. Look, Embiid is a freak. The footwork, the shooting, he's tremendous. But I will say this, Maz, quickly. Embiid, if there's one thing that does stand out to me about him, and I think the Celtics should exploit more, his conditioning is still pretty poor. And
agreed.
If they can get him on the perimeter and have him, you know, run around. I mean, his closeout on Horford last night was atrocious.
Oh, it was pathetic.
What a joke.
Pathetic.
That was.
It was pathetic.
It was terrible. But I will say this, Felger, on Stevens, I think one thing that you should be giving him more credit for is that, much like the Patriots, right, 60 minutes of football, they play till the final whistle. Situationally, they're excellent, and they'll always give you their best for a full 60 minutes. I think the Celtics are the same way. I think Stevens implores them to play the full 48 minutes, and they play their ass off. I mean, how many times have they been down this year and just clawed their way back? I think they're tremendous in that regard. So I think,
no question.
I think
what I give them credit for most, Steve, I'm just going to cut you off, sorry, is that they do that in October and November and December better than any team. easily. So as I keep harping home court, home court, home court, the reason you're at home is because Brad gets the guys to play that way over 82 games better than any other team in the league. That I give to you 100%. And I'll also give you another one. He raises the value of these players so astronomically. I mean, not just locally, where you guys overrate everybody, but nationally now, to the point he gets these guys to buy in so much and the system's so good that now you actually have heretofore what I thought to be reasonable expert NBA analysts saying things like, do you keep Rozier and trade Kyrie Irving
oh,
for
God,
Kawhi
please.
Leonard?
Oh, yeah, that's idiotic.
I give you that and other nonsense, i.e. Brett Brown explains himself for last night, and the previously mentioned and previously, in my mind, respected NBA analyst wonders, is it now time to shop Kyrie and keep Terry Rozier? Someone who I like actually said this morning. And the outrage is already building.
I can see it.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, I think the Celtics' defensive intensity went to a higher level. You know, we give them credit. They went on a little run, then they went on another run, I think, with about 2 minutes left. You know, you're sitting there wondering matchups, you're thinking about timeouts, you're thinking about all of it. And I feel like if I had to do it again, I would do the same thing. I would have had the same people in the game, trying to, on the road, make sure you have an ample amount of timeouts. You know it's going to be a close game. That's the decision I made.
When you make decisions like you did last night, and your team loses the game the way you lose it, then Brett Brown, coach of the Sixers, deserves to be called a bum, at least for a day. And the first tip-off, Maz, is the thing he said there in the middle of his comment, which was, if I had to do it all over again, I'd do the same thing. First sign of a jackwagon. You F up royally. You blow something. And instead of saying, you know, we're going to go back and take a look and see if we did everything the way we should do it. I don't know right now. He doesn't have to tell me he's wrong right now. It's after the game. But to come out and say, I would do it all over again. Well, you moron. So you'll just go ahead and blow 22-point leads? In 5 minutes?
No, it's preposterous. It is.
That is the first sign that you're dealing with an imbecile. It is. Because only imbeciles say, I have no regrets, I wouldn't change a thing. That makes, if you say you have no regrets and you wouldn't change a thing, you, sir,
are an imbecile. You've learned nothing.
You've learned nothing, you're an imbecile. Because the only way you evolve as a human and correct your mistakes is to admit your mistakes and try and get better from them. And we make mistakes every day. I make a million a day. And I go to bed riddled with regret and wishing I could have done things differently and said things differently. And hopefully the next day, I do it better. Never would I F up royally and come on and say, I do the same thing again. Moron, imbecile. First warning sign. But what was interesting about that answer is that he wasn't even asked. He was asked generically. The question was generically about, you know, you gave away that 22 points at the end of the second quarter. What did you see there? And he goes into the, I'd have the same guys on the floor. You could talk about timeouts. Like, no one even asked him about the personnel or the timeouts. And he did it himself because he knew. He knows.
No, he made a mistake. There's no two ways about it.
But no, I do the same thing. So then in Philly, someone had to follow up and ask about the timeout again. Why no timeout at the end of the second quarter? This is a little longer, and we'll probably stop and start a little bit. But, Jimmy, go ahead.
The moment in the second quarter where they're on that run where they really took the game back, what's the thought process there behind not calling a timeout and sort of
that you trust your veteran? I trust my players that they have shown that they can hold on to stuff, that they know how to stay organized, and they've shown that over the past third of the season.
Okay, so stop there. You're already scoffing.
Yeah, because I think that I told you earlier, I'd be willing to bet that his, you know, on some level, he looks at it and says, well, in the long view, you know, in the long run, this is going to benefit us. And the reality is it's all well and good to think that way. The part that I didn't continue with is it's all well and good to think that way, particularly as it pertains to Ben Simmons. What about everybody else?
I don't care if you're young or old. If you are on the verge of losing a 22-point lead, you call timeout.
Of course. Yes, you have a responsibility to your team to win the game.
Seriously, but whether you're young or old, whether you're trying to prove a point or not, or teach a guy, there's nothing to teach. Because I don't. If the Golden State Warriors, this year's Golden State Warriors, are up 22 points, and the opponent starts to chip into the lead, Steve Kerr calls timeout. It doesn't matter how old your team is. You call timeout. It's the oldest thing in the NBA to stop a run. Call timeout, set your defense, set your offense, more importantly, and figure it out. So I don't care. Like the
that explanation there, I trust my veterans. Well, then go hang in the locker room then. What are you even there on the sideline for?
Well, he put
You're
him,
useless.
I think he put Embiid back in the game during this run. I think there was a sub there at some point. He put him in, so that's no veteran. But go ahead.
That they can hold on to stuff, that they know how to stay organized, and they've shown that over the past third of the season. And as I said, as we study this, and it's easy for, you know, us to say, oh, they went on that run, like, do you burn a timeout? When we study it and we sort of, like, discuss it on a bench, we want to have stuff. I wished I had more at the end of the game as well. And so I feel like when you started subbing that we were going to be able to hold the fort. You know, in retrospect, we didn't. You know, would have timeout have fixed it? I don't think so. You know, we can maybe second guess that. But by and large, just going into the game and trying to make sure you have enough at the end of the game also to manage it. You knew it was going to be a close game. You know, the notion that we were going to, like, maintain a 20-point lead and walk out of the Boston Garden wasn't on my mind. It wasn't on my mind. I felt like we did to them, they were going to do to us. Runs were going to be had. And so when you bring Embiid and JJ back into the game, and, you know, you've got a sort of a stockpile of timeouts to use, that was my decision. And as I said, as I sit here, I'd do it again. I'll go back and look at the tape, and if it's something that I will pivot out of, I'll share it with everybody when I see you next.
Oh, so stupid. And Jimmy, you can cue up Barkley at half, too. I forgot to mention that. Cue up Barkley. When he said we study it and we discuss it, you know what I'm led to believe? That it's an advanced analytics thing. It's a predetermined thing about you want a certain amount of timeouts in the second half of a game. And so,
I mean, it might be.
Regardless of the situation, you don't burn timeouts because you need X amount. The formula shows you need X amount at the end of the game. That makes my blood boil. So this is some nerd. I bet you, donuts to dollars, this is some nerd or some collection of nerds in the analytics department at the Philadelphia 76ers that says, you know, on the road, you need to make sure that you have X amount of timeouts per time. And I bet there's a formula for timeouts that they have that they go into a game with. He basically said it.
I mean, the part that doesn't add up is just because you think it's going to be a close game. Do you have to let it get it to 4 points at the end of the second quarter?
Well, but that was the second piece. He says, in no way did I think we were walking out of the garden with a 20-point. Well, why not? So you just automatically assume they're going to cut into the lead? And you just accept it?
Yeah, losers lament. Losers.
Oh, my God, so bad.
Yeah, totally. Losers lament. So, now look, I was just looking at the substitution pattern. He had most of his guys in there. He had the thing started with 5 minutes to go, and then Embiid and Redick were in there. It was a 21-point game.
It's also the nature of it. It wasn't just the Celtics hitting shots. The Sixers stopped running. They stopped running back on defense.
Well, it was ugly, yeah. It was ugly.
And they would get over the half line and just chuck threes. I know they shot a lot of threes in this game, but at least it was sort of in the flow of the offense. Not here, not during this run. They'd get over the half court and just bombs away and then not get back on defense. And it happened on several possessions to the point it was so glaringly obvious. It was like they just sort of quit at the end of the second quarter. I've never seen anything like it. And he talks about trusting your players. I don't care. I don't care if it's the Michael Jordan Bulls in the middle of winning 6 championships. When someone is erasing a 22-point lead, you call timeout. I don't care if you're 20 or 40. You call timeout. That's a joke. And when we study it and we discuss it on the bench about timeouts, I guarantee you it is some predetermined nerd formula that they have about timeouts. Barkley wasted no time. Barkley, who guaranteed a Sixers victory. Barkley hates the Celtics. It's awesome because he always picks against him and is always downing him. And it's so much more refreshing than watching NBC Sports Boston where they take their pants off and pleasure themselves at halftime. I get to watch someone do the other thing. It was just so much more gratifying for me anyway. But Barkley was hot at halftime. Go ahead, Jimmy.
The Sixers were so stupid. Ernie, when you when a team is making
Tell us how you really feel.
No, Ernie, Kenny, we're sitting there. Number one, the coach didn't call a timeout.
Yeah.
They came down when Boston started making their run, and they just kept jacking up threes. Ernie, you got to know the time and the score. You know, the coaches always talk about the last 5 minutes before the half and things like that. You got a, basically a 20-point lead. Boston makes a nice run. And you just come down just like, let's just keep shooting threes. They're not going in, and Boston made their run.
Yeah, you got to
slow the game down, man. Use the shot clock, go back to Embiid inside, run plays. That was some of the dumbest basketball the Sixers played I'd ever seen the last 5 minutes.
No, but if he had to do it all over again, he'd do it exactly the same.
He's right, though, about the threes. I mean, you're looking at the game log, too, going over it again, and I don't remember all those threes, but he's right. Covington, 22 feet. Redick, 21 feet. Embiid, 26 feet. Saric, 22 feet.
Some of them were just panic shots, too, like early in the shot clock. Like just
holy crap. I mean, it was unbelievable. I remember sitting there watching it, I thought, this is unreal.
They completely came unglued.
It is unreal that they just erased the whole thing as quickly as they did.
And the coach just sat there and let it happen. Not a single timeout. Just let it happen. He just let it happen because why? There's some formula that says he needs X amount of timeouts in the second half?
I'm telling you, I still think the decision later in the game was worse. It was working with McConnell. You had the game. You had it won. They actually had to defend your point guard more than 5 feet away from the basket. It was working, and he put Simmons back in.
So that's one outrage. After Murray's update, I'll give you the other one, which is more outrageous, really. When you think about it from an intellectual standpoint, this next one's probably more outrageous.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.